You know, interesting, if you look at verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, those truths only pertain to those who are where? In Christ. And every time you see in Christ, it's talking about our identification, our union with Him. And so these are identification truths. These are union truths, if you will. Wonderful, wonderful identification truths. So I may throw out the terminology identification truths, and these are the truths that are a reality in our life because of our union with Christ. Okay? So, oh, you know, we got to do this. If I can find my overhead. See, my problem is, you can get into one verse of Scripture, and you can spend an entire hour, you can spend an entire 5 hours on one verse of Scripture. I mean, you want to... The more you look at it, and the more you dig, the more there is. And that's what is so wonderful about the Word of God, that it's infinite. It is infinite just like He is infinite. It's not finite, it's infinite. If we look at, remember this picture from last week? If you don't, if you're here for the first time, this is going to be Greek to you. But here we are. We have a body, we have a mind, a heart, and a soul. Our soul consists of senses, mentality, will, conscience, emotions, those kinds of things. And we abide somewhere. We either abide, as we talked about last week, in this sin nature, and okay to call this Adamic nature a sin nature, very scriptural to call it sin nature. And with this old frame of reference, as believers, our condition is either going to be here or here. Remember, condition. Not our position, but our condition. What we practice at any moment in time during the day. Our condition, our position, is not this. We'll look at our position a little bit later here. Or we can abide here in Christ. And if we abide in Christ, we're abiding in this new nature. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have become. And we are a new creation. Right? Now, notice that God did not decide to take the old creation and fix him up or improve him. Okay? God decided to recreate us. So when it says that we are a new creation, the word new there, and there's several different words for new, this particular word for new means not new in time, but new in quality. We are a new in quality creation. That's the kind of, so what he did is he recreated us. So what he's done is he has made an exchange of this man for this man, or this man for this man, right? There's been an exchange in our life as believers. Wonderful exchange. Okay. The next question that came up after class, and it was in Romans 5:12. So if you'll turn there to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, let me go through this verse again. I'm going to put into the verse the definite articles. I'm going to tell you how frustrated it is sometimes where, as you go through scripture, it talks about the law, and if you go to the Greek text, the definite article isn't in there. It's just law. But so sometimes translators put a definite article in the translation when there's none in the original text, and they omit the definite article when it's in the original text. So, back to verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, the sin entered into the world. If it's the definite article, what are we talking about here?
Sin.
The sin nature. The sin nature entered into the world, and the death by sin. Okay? I'll go through it. The sin. Definite article. So, the death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So there's these definite articles in here. What does this all mean? So the question was this. It says, the death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Are those acts of sin? Was the question. Were those sins? Did death pass upon man because of man's sins, plural? That's the question. What do you think? Okay. It's an excellent question because it is, from the text, it's a little hard to see. But let me tell you what I think it's saying. Take the first part of the verse. It says, the sin, or the sin nature, entered into the world. How? By Adam. Okay. Then the second statement is that the result of his sin nature was the death. Specific. The death. Now, I think, that it's talking about, when it's talking about the death, it's talking about the totality of death, including spiritual and physical death. So the moment that Adam sinned, he died, right? He died spiritually, right? God said, Adam, where art thou? You know, walking in the cool of the garden, where art thou? You know, Adam was hiding. So he died spiritually. He was separated spiritually from God. And then 900 and some odd years later, he died physically. But the result of the sin nature was the death, I think, spiritual and physical, upon Adam, right? Upon Adam. And then the next statement says that the death passed upon all men. So that what we have is the death, that is, this death here, that was pronounced on Adam, also passed upon all men. So which says that Adam's death was imputed to all mankind. Right? Is that fair? Okay. So, now I want you to take a look at the logic. The logic, I think, goes something like this. That mankind's death here is a result of Adam's death. Adam died, we all died. Right? And the reason for Adam's death was because of his sin nature. Right? Because he sinned, death. Because of sin, then there was death. So the reason for Adam's death is the sin nature in him, in Adam. Okay? So then you can draw a conclusion. Therefore, mankind's death must be due to the same reason of Adam's death, sin nature in mankind. Right? Okay, so logic-wise, if you go through that logic, mankind has a sin nature. And then, and that's what I'm saying here, thus Adam's sin nature was imputed to all mankind. So I think you can draw that conclusion. Okay. Now, the last part of the verse, the proof, I think the last part of the verse is the proof of the fact that Adam's sin nature was imputed to all mankind. Here's the bottom line. Here's the proof that Paul gives. He says, For all have sinned. Let me move this up here. Alright? For all have sinned. Now the word sin, anybody remember what that means, word sin? Miss the mark. Wonderful. That's all it means, is to miss the mark. All have sinned, all have missed the mark. And the mark, if you remember, we had a picture, and the mark was the glory of God, His holiness, His righteousness, His justice, His love, His mercy, His grace. All who He is, that was the mark. So, man has missed the mark. That's all that is saying. The proof that the sin nature was imputed to mankind is the fact that all have sinned. They have fallen short of the mark. And they have fallen short of the mark because of their sin nature. Okay. Now, we're getting ready to hit chapter 6. But let me tell you something. This is good in terms of all these questions, because they're excellent questions, and what they do is they really set the stage for Romans chapter 6. They do, and you'll see how all of this comes together. Let's go back here for a minute. Let me ask a question. What is the Adamic nature like? What's the sin nature like? Okay. Okay, rebellious. Pride. Okay. Okay. Proud. As you go through Scripture, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, God describes this nature. And it's awful. Right? I mean, Jeremiah 17:9, right? For the heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we're talking about this being a very deceitful and desperately wicked nature. Okay? And as you go, and say in Galatians 5:16, where the battle goes on within us all the time, that the spirit lusts against the flesh. Remember, the Spirit of God who indwells us lusts against the flesh. Is lust bad there? No. Lust means desire, an inordinate desire. Could be for good, could be for bad from God's point of view. But the spirit lusts against the flesh, desires against the flesh. And the flesh desires against the spirit. Right? And so there's this war that goes on within us. And it's this nature, this Adamic nature that wants to be in control. It wants to take control in our life, right? The Spirit of God wants to take control in our life because the Spirit of God wants to lead us in the wonderful truths about the Son and to have just a glorious fellowship with Christ, having that intimacy with Christ. That's what the Spirit desires for us. But the flesh comes at us and says, "Now I want to show you something over here. Let's take a look at this." You know, and so there's these temptations that come to us. The world, the flesh, the devil. And for the person who says that the devil made me do it, don't you ever believe it. Because the world comes at us, the flesh comes at us, and the devil comes at us. But the choice is ours. We have this will. We have this volition. And it's whether or not we're going to abide over here. Because the world and the flesh and the devil appeal to the sin nature, to the old Adamic nature. And that's where the appeal is. If our will, our desire, is to fulfill those desires, then we're going to be abiding over here. But it's not the devil that made us do that. I talk to many people, and it's like they had nothing to do with the sin in their life. I mean, it was the devil that made them do it. I mean, this nature, deceitful, desperately wicked, it is lustful. It has lust. It has desires. As you go through Scripture, the three main desires of the flesh are riches, power, and wisdom. Riches, power, and wisdom. And you find that in Jeremiah chapter 9. You find that all through Scripture. And you get to the book of Revelation, and you find that the desire for power, riches, and wisdom is a good desire. God gives us that desire. Okay? But it all depends upon where that desire is being fulfilled. Is it being fulfilled in the world, or is it being fulfilled in Christ? Okay? Because power, Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection power, that's where the Spirit wants us to abide. Riches, God has given us all of the riches in glory. I mean, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We have all the riches in the heavenlies. They're ours. And that's where He wants us to abide. Nothing wrong with riches as long as they're in the right place. There and not here. And wisdom. Anything wrong with wisdom in terms of the wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ? Nothing. The Spirit desires us to orient to His mind. Let this mind be in you, that which was in Christ Jesus. Right? So, be occupied with His wisdom. And you get to the book of Revelation and you find out, boy, all these desires are okay if they're in the right place. But if they're in the wrong place, if they're in the world, if those desires are in the world, then it's sin. And the sin nature, it's interesting. The sin nature has the same desires as the new nature. Riches, power, and wisdom. But the fulfillment is in the world in Christ. Okay? So, if we talk about the sin nature, we want to try and understand who indwells us. We want to understand that nature that indwells us. And hopefully, not for too long, that the Lord's going to return, you know, soon, and so that we can be free. Although, are we free? Okay, but that we'll get there. In terms of other lusts and other desires that the sin nature has, approbation lust, approbation desires. We want people to like us, and that's a desire of the sin nature. Self-preservation lust. We have a lust or a desire for self-preservation. By golly, if my name gets marred a little bit, I'm going to be in there and trying to fix that thing up and correct it and suppress this and suppress that. And right? Sin nature. That's what the sin nature does. The new nature says, you know, if something's said against you, be joyful. Rejoice in the fact that it isn't true. Right? And Peter. But, okay. Several of you have mentioned, you know, think about when you get into a trial, you get into a tough situation. Okay. Now I forgot, where were we? Think about a trial. Think about the circumstances in life that come at you, the things that you don't expect, and the trials and the sufferings and all of that. And think about your responses sometime. And the response out of the old man, if we're biting over here, is that one is irritability. Something happens and it's out of the norm. If we're abiding over here, the old man's irritable. Old man gets angry. Angry at a particular circumstance. Why? Because this nature over here wants to be in control. And if everything is not lined up, if everything is not right, he's not in control. And he wants to be in control because one of those desires is to be in control. And so, if he isn't, and see, this is why the Lord comes at us with trials. Welcome trials. Embrace them. They put you in the position of sometimes of hopelessness and helplessness. Embrace him because he's working with you. He's working with me. And you just monitor your response sometimes in terms of irritability, anger, impatience, okay? Impatience, depression, despair, anger, fear, worry, anxiety. Just go down the line. Where's that from? It's not from here. It's from Adam. That's the very essence, the very nature of Adam. The nature of Christ is not that way. And his nature can't change, right? And he's love, and he's patience, right? So if we're impatient, obviously, it's not the Lord Jesus Christ living his life through us, because he can't be anything else but patient. He can't be anything else but love. He can't be anything else but compassionate. He can't be anything but those things. And so if that is not what is being manifested through us, then guess who? Right? Okay. So we need to understand, we really need to understand this guy. Because, and the thing is this, we'll never understand him, we'll never understand the sin nature until we know Christ. Until we start come to know him. And as we come to know him, and abide in him, beholding him, know his glory, his wondrous majesty, then we're going to see the difference. We're going to see who this guy is. And that's why Paul, it's 2 Timothy. This is at the end of his ministry. Tail end of his ministry. What does he say? He says, of sinners, I'm what?
Chief.
Why in the world would he say such a thing? And he said, of sinners, I am chief. Why? Because I think what happened is that he got to know him. He got to know the Lord. And the more he got to know the Lord, the more he saw what the old man, what the sin nature, what the Adamic nature is like. Okay? Alright. So, now comes the wonderful news. Chapter 6 of Romans. Here's the wonderful news. This guy, the sin nature, wants to abound in sin. Where the sin nature abounds, grace what? Much more abounds, super abounds. Actually, the literal translation is overflows. It overflows. And so the question that Paul asks then is, what shall we say then in verse 1? Shall we continue in the sin, in the sin nature, so that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid, may it never be so. In fact, if you look at that, you can translate it, how is it possible? In fact, that's the most literal translation. How is it possible? And what Paul is saying, it's impossible. It's impossible that we abound or we continue in the sin nature that grace may abound. And he gives the reason why it's impossible. And he says, how shall we that are dead to, again, definite article, to the sin nature live any longer in it? Okay? So, the question is, boy, if grace is going to superabound or overflow and by abiding over here, why not just let's hang out over here? And God forbid, may it never be so. It's impossible, he says, because you're dead. Death means what? Separation. You're dead to the sin nature. You have been separated from the sin nature. You cannot live. You cannot hang out here duratively. You can't. Because that's not you. This is you over here. Now, when he says that you're dead, it's the aorist tense. Aorist tense is what kind of action? Thank you. Fact. Past fact. It's a fact. You are dead. And the other part of the verb, it's the mood. And this is the indicative mood, which is the mood of reality. Each verb has its relationship to reality. The indicative mood says it's real. If it's a command, it's removed from reality. Give me a command from Scripture. Be angry, but sin not. Okay? Be angry, it's a command. It's the imperative mood. The imperative mood, there's reality, is further removed from reality. Maybe you will be angry, and maybe you won't. See, it's further removed from reality. But when it talks about the indicative mood, it's reality. It's real. Just like you're real, I'm real. We are dead, and it's a reality, and it's a fact. We are dead. We are separated. We are cut loose. Okay. Now, so what does all that mean? If we take the same picture, and instead of looking at it conditionally, okay, we look at it positionally, in terms of who we are in Christ here. It says that we're dead. That, and when you have an aorist tense, it's usually stating something about our position in Christ. In being in Christ, we are dead. We are dead to the sin nature. We are cut loose from it. We are separated from it. And so God has cut us loose from the sin nature. All it's saying in verse 2 is that we're dead. It doesn't tell us how we're dead or why we're dead. It just tells us that we're dead. That we're cut loose, we're separated from the sin nature. So that if you take a look at our position is this, is that our position is abiding. This is a hard wire. There's no switch here now. Our position, this is hardwired. That this is who we are in our position, right? We have a new nature. We are a new creation in Christ. And we'll never be anything else but that new creation, positionally. Right? Okay. But, do you know in Scripture where it talks about when Paul is talking to the Jews, and the Jews are all hung up in circumcision in terms of, oh yeah, well I'm keeping the law and I've been circumcised. And Paul, remember Paul, said, yeah, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews and circumcised the eighth day, right? And gave all his wonderful credentials. And of course, Paul later understood that, and he says, boy, you know, what I counted all that as, boy, I had big check marks. Boy, that put me in favorable position with the Lord. He says, and I looked over here at Christ, and he says, then the columns changed, the balance and loss columns changed. And he says, those things, which I accounted for loss, which was Christ, you know, now I count gain. And the other things, in terms of all of the wonderful Pharisees and circumcised the eighth day, he says, I count them as what? Dung. Dung. Better word. I mean, you go out into the fields where horses are and cows are, that's what it is. I mean, it's wrong, emphatic. Dung. I count that as dung. And so he talks about circumcision to the Jews, you know, and they were all wrapped up in the ritual, in the rite of circumcision. And what does he say about true circumcision? The heart. True circumcision. Circumcision means a cutting around. Right? What it means, cutting around. Take a male, cut him around. The cutting around. And the true circumcision is a cutting around of the heart. And so what the Lord did when we put our trust and faith in Christ, we were circumcised. And what he did, he cut around our heart. And the cutting around of our heart was this. So circumcision of the heart is this cutting around. And we died. And it's a fact. We're dead to that sin nature. Okay. Questions at this point? Let me ask you a question. Is there any good that could come out from here? Out from the sin nature? How about if I... Let's take a non-believer for a moment. And let's say a non-believer is very, very philanthropic, gives a lot of money to charity. isn't that good? What if an unbeliever loves his family? Isn't that good? Okay. Okay.
In regards to salvation.
Okay.
But that's the whole thing. Is anybody doing any good in God's eyes? Like if a small child was running in front of a car and somebody saved that child? That's nothing to do with salvation, but does God see that as good? See, that's a hard argument to say, no, there is no good.
Yeah.
Nothing is good enough for salvation.
Yeah.
Not even one.
Yeah. And what he's saying is like, what it says in Romans, there are none that are good, right? No, not one, right? I mean, none. Okay. But the thing is this. There is good and evil that comes out of here. Okay. But we have to distinguish between human good and divine good. And that's the key. The only thing that can come out of here is human good. And God can't accept that. So, it's interesting. Oftentimes, believers live their life in terms of trying to do the good and not avoid the evil. Right? And isn't that what the Lord told Adam? You know, in terms of, here's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so, as believers, oftentimes we hop up in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and try and live in that tree and do the good, not do the evil. Wrong tree. Right? Wrong tree. There's another tree in the garden.
Tree of life.
Tree of life. Here's the tree of life over here. Right? That's where he wants us. Not over here. Over here. Okay. So far, it doesn't, as I said, it doesn't say how or why we're dead. And I told you I'm going to come at you with trick questions every now and then. I'll warn you, this is a trick question. You're walking down the street or you're having a conversation with somebody, and they ask you the question, are you a sinner?
What's your answer?
Yes and no.
No? You can't be a politician in this answer.
The answer is no.
No?
Because when they become a Christian, we're never referred to as a sinner again. We're saints.
Wonderful. Okay. Okay. Positionally, we are not sinners, right? I mean, we saw that over here. The fact that in Adam, we were sinners. In Christ, we are righteous. That's who we are. We are righteous, and we are not sinners. And the thing is this, and the reason why I ask the question is this, is because if I get back to the other chart, so many believers, I can't, you know, I don't know what percentage there is, but there's a lot of believers that are struggling in their Christian life to try and live the Christian life because they view themselves as sinners and they do not view themselves as righteous. They don't view themselves as in Christ, but they view themselves over here with all these struggles and the patience, and I don't have patience and I need more. Lord, help me with this and help me with that. And these cries to the Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. But all of it is done, 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 done. The Lord has done it. We're totally complete in Christ. Does that make sense? I mean, we're in Christ. He has given us the patience. He is the patience. He is the love. He is the compassion. He's it all. He's all of it. And we have the life. And it's not that we're going to get eternal life. We have it right now. I woke up the other morning. And this may sound strange. And I said, you know, I wake up in the morning and you're thinking about people, praying about people, and just thinking about truths. And I said to myself, now, every one of us knows that we have eternal life, right? We have eternal life. But for whatever reason, oftentimes, we think that that's in the by and by. But that's when the Lord returns, we have eternal life. But we are living in eternal life. In His life. It's eternal life. Right now. And so I said, if I'm living, if I'm abiding in Him, I have the life. When He returns, it's not going to be any surprise. There's not going to be this big transition. Oh, world, I didn't do this, I did, right? So anyhow, but it's something that oftentimes believers are in the wrong tree. Okay. So, okay. This week we're dead. Okay? We are cut loose. Next week, how? How did that happen? Next week. Unless there's a lot of questions after... No. Are there any questions? Bill, would you close this in prayer?
Sure. Father, we thank you so much for the beautiful, wonderful truths that you have in your infinite word. And we thank you, Father, that you reveal them to us in Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's Christ in us that is able to show us, Father, all these truths. We didn't have Christ in us, Father, but all these reasons. Even though we're studying. Father, we just thank you for all you are to us. We pray that we would appreciate it more and more as we go through life. We thank you for our brother. We pray that you continue to give him the enlightenment that we partake of.
Mm-hmm. Amen.